Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Who are we studying about today? Jesus. Who are we studying about today?
Jesus.
Who we want to be like?
Jesus.
Who we want to love like?
Jesus.
Okay, that's better. Trick question, yeah. About 2 years ago in December, I got a call from a pastor friend of mine. And this pastor friend of mine excited me. Told me that he had a vacation all paid for in Orlando, Florida. He had a condo paid for on a beautiful golf course, but he couldn't go. He said, if you wanted to go, or if you know anybody who wanted to go in December, he's like, just let me know. It's already paid for. I can't take it back. And I said, well, I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. I am tired. I need to go. And so a week later, my family and I, and we were in Disney World, enjoying the Disney World on a golf course. Too bad I hate golf, okay? So I didn't play any golf, but the view was amazing. My back window, our back balcony was over the golf course, and it was all paid for, all free. So just the place, just the hotel, just the condo place. Our kids always wanted to go to Disney World, and it was perfect time. They were about, you know, 6 and 7, somewhere in there. And so finally, we went to this wonderful, magical world of Disney. And we're like, McDonald's meal is like $15. And you have to wait about 3 hours to get on a ride. And you have to stand in line for like hour and a half to meet one of the Disney characters. But it's still wonderful. It's beautiful. We came early in the morning and we stayed there till it was dark. I mean, if you pay, you know, $600 for your family, take advantage at least of the view, all right? And there's thousands of people there. There's like, it's huge. But one thing, a cool thing I recognized and I realized about Disney World is it's super safe and super clean. Thousands of people go through that place every single day. I mean, it's so packed. It's huge. It's hundreds of acres of land and it's people everywhere. And yet it's super clean, organized, and pretty safe. Many people don't know this about Disney World, but Disney World closes at about 10 or 11 o'clock. Actually, it never closes, because when people leave, big lights go up, and that's where repair work happens. Hundreds and thousands of workers descend on this magical place, and they begin to work. They clean that place. They wipe every concession stand. They clean every ride. They paint it. They screw all the bolts together. They make sure it's safe for your family the next day. At night, this park gets restored and renewed. What if Disney World stayed open all night, cutting corners on maintenance and repair time? Would you go to a place like that? Because the park would eventually be unsafe, unsanitary. It would be unappealing and dangerous for your family. And I wouldn't take that risk. So during the night, the park gets restored. Today I'm talking about rest, right? Same thing happens to your body. Same thing happens to your mind at night when we rest. The problem is our society is so stressed out. Our families are so tensed that even at night we don't get any rest. Our mind is constantly running. Even at night, many people can't sleep. I did my research and I found out that 60 million Americans struggle with sleeping disorder or insomnia or something like that. Millions of prescriptions are being filled every year because people are trying to sleep. When we don't get our sleep, we don't function as good in our society, in our work, in our family. We're tensed, we're irritable, we're snappy with people, because we don't get enough rest. Two places in your life that needs rest. It's your body needs rest and your soul needs rest. A lot of people give a lot of rest to their body, but their soul is like the waves of the sea. Just always turmoil, always anxieties, fears, negative thinking, and it never, never stops. It's like your mind never shuts down. I'm not going to talk about your body resting because we already went over that a few weeks ago. Today I want to talk about rest for your soul. Because like I said, your body could be rested. But unless your soul finds rest, it will screw everything up. And you can't enjoy life. Have you ever been in a place where you got food on the table, your car is driving good, you got enough clothes, your family seems okay, and yet you're not happy? There's just this unrest in your heart. Everything seems normal. Everything seems good, but there's no rest, no peace. And you're like, I could sell all that I have, except my family, of course, for just a little bit of rest. I just want to rest. I just want to be happy. Well, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to rest. Did you know that? That's why today's scripture, if you can turn your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28, and we're going to read this together. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light." Amen. Today's sermon is not for slackers. Today's sermon is not for those who are always chilling, lazy. This sermon is for those who are actually, the sermon is not for those who are ignoring their life. You know, just ignoring everything. And no, there's no problem. I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to deal with problems. I'm absent. I'm alive, but I'm absent. This sermon is for mothers who are taking care of a lot of kids today. And you don't get enough sleep, and there's always anxieties, and you need some rest. This is a sermon for you. This sermon is for single mother, father, who is taking care of the babies, maybe even working a job or two jobs. You need rest. It's for a father who's working hard to provide for his family, and his job is just not a very good job, but maybe his job is just not a secure job, and he doesn't know if he's going to have it tomorrow, if he's going to be able to put food on the table tomorrow. This sermon is for students who are working hard and going to college and trying to better themselves so they can have a great future, but they don't know if there's going to be opportunity for them. This sermon is for those of you who are doing ministry for Jesus. If you're doing something for Him and you're just wondering, God, am I doing everything right? Is my work being noticed? This is a sermon for you. What is rest? Obviously, we're not talking about sleep, just, you know, body rest. We're talking about soul rest, okay? What is rest? Rest is a state of being where your mind and your soul are at peace and in harmony, in balance with self and God. Rest is the state of being where your mind, spirit, and your soul are in peace and harmony and balance with yourself and with God. In 4th century, there lived a man, and maybe some of you heard of him. We call him St. Augustine. There's a city like that, the oldest city in America, in Florida, St. Augustine. This man said, "I don't want a Christian life. It's too safe." His mom was a Christian. He grew up Christian, hearing about Jesus. And he's like, "It's too safe. I want to go and live my life dangerously." So he went out and lived his life dangerously. He was a player, guys. He was a drunkard. He lived his life, and he came to a conclusion that there is no rest in the heart. No matter how much the world has to offer, I intake, I still find no rest. And he came up with this famous quote, "There is no rest in human heart until we find our rest in Jesus." There is no rest in human heart until we find our rest in Jesus. How do we get to rest? Well, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So today we're going to learn about Jesus and how He can give us that rest. Have you ever wondered, why is there so much unrest in our hearts, in our souls, in our homes, in our society? Have you ever wondered that? Life seems like it's harsh, like the waves in the ocean sometimes. Have you ever been on the ocean or, Well, some of you maybe we're in South Dakota, so like I don't expect a lot of people to be in on the ocean. But if you've ever been in the ocean, you know something, that waves could be pretty brutal. Even small waves could knock you down. My mother was on the ocean last year. She was walking into the water, and the wave hit her so hard it messed her ankle up. I mean, she barely walked. Tanya and I were on vacation, and it was big waves, you know, on the ocean. The waves were so bad by the shore that you couldn't get in. They would just slap you so hard. And the interesting thing that happened, it was you had to walk like 30 feet into the water to kind of find that place where you're not being beat up so hard. You're still getting beat up a little bit, but I like it. I love it. But not as hard. And this interesting picture I observed in the ocean. I'm standing there just flowing with the waves. You know, once you get a little bit further into the ocean, then you're fine. But right by the shore. And here I see this husband on vacation with his wife. I could tell. Pulling her into the ocean. And she's like, no, no. And he's like, come on, it's going to be fine. Look at these guys. They're all flowing in there. And so he's pulling her. And I'm like, uh-oh, trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Since I was born. And so he's pulling her. She has like a coverall. She has glasses. And she's resisting him. But finally, you know, he kind of convinces her and he pulls her in. And here comes this big rogue wave. And it just covers her and slaps her to the floor. Both of them. He was a little, you know, he could withstand it a little bit more. She couldn't. It took her down. Down, down. She comes out. Her glasses are gone. Her cover for her bathing suit is gone. Waves hurt people. Life can hurt. She gets out of the water and she's cursing with every curse she could find. You son of a this, you. I'm just standing there looking and they're like close to me and she's cursing. And she's getting out of water and she's getting slapped again with the wave. And she's just mad at him. And the guy's like, Ronnie, honey, honey, I'm sorry. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I get closer and you know, when you see a wife abusing her husband like that, you always want to help. And so I get close and I said, hey, it's okay. You just got to fast. You got to get into the ocean really fast and I'll help you find the glasses. We never found the glasses. And I guess they were expensive. We found her thing, that cover thing that she had. But we never... Waves are harsh, and lives sometimes feel like that. Have you ever been just slapped by the wave? And before you recovered, another wave, another storm. Life could be like that. Why is there so much pressure in life? Stress and tension, unrest in our heart, in our homes, in our society. Why can't we just all get alone? You heard that phrase. Why can my kids get alone? Why do they always have to be fighting and stressing me out? Why is there so much fear and anxiety and those negative thoughts in my heart, in my mind? Why can't I get alone with my boss, my coworkers? Why can't I just get... Why is there always this stress and tension in this world, in my life? Why can't I have some peace, lasting peace? Why is there so much conflict between me and my spouse? God, why? Wave after wave, wave after wave. Are you interested in the answer? Okay, great. In order for us to get our answer, we have to go back to the book of Genesis and see what happened in the book of Genesis. Let's do it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's put just verse 15, guys. This is when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God, and you know, they ate that forbidden fruit. And here God pronounces a judgment over a serpent, over Eve, and over Adam. So this is a judgment over Eve that God pronounces. He says, because you disobeyed me, this is what's going to happen. And I will put an enmity between you and a woman. God is talking to a serpent here. And I will put an enmity, a war, a conflict between you, serpent, and what you represent. Serpent represents Satan, devil. Let's read it again. And I will put an enmity, a war, between you and a woman, and between your seed and her seed. Okay, let's stop there. Why is there so much stress in the world? Because God, the judgment for disobeying, for walking away from God, is God pronouncing there will be a war. See, something about Satan that many people don't know. He thought this, guys. I will separate Adam and Eve from God, and they will serve me like my little minions. That's what Satan was hoping for, right? Separate them from God, and they will serve me. What he didn't count on was the judgment that got pronounced. God says, no, 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 they won't serve you. I will put an enmity, I will put a war. So God pronounces a war between a woman, between you and your seed, and her seed. That's us. Did you know that Satan is not the Lord of your life? You are actually his enemy. You got to think about that. See, a lot of times people say, if you don't serve Jesus, you automatically serve the devil. Right? Not necessarily. God put an enmity. God put a war. God put a barrier. God put a, what do you call, stress point between humanity and Satan. Well, Pastor, I thought a lot of people serve the devil. People are made in the image of God. We don't want to serve anybody. We don't want to serve God. We don't want to serve the devil. How many people, unbelievers, when you were an unbeliever, how many of you would say, I serve the devil. I'm his servant. No. Did you know people weren't created to serve even God? We weren't created to serve God. We were created to worship God. Listen to me. Show me in the book of Genesis, in the original creation, where Adam and Eve served God. They ruled and reigned with God. Now, they weren't equals, but they weren't servants either. They weren't created to be servants. Angels were created to be servants. You are not. That's why Satan cannot make you do anything unless you allow it. Satan, although he's powerful with all his power, cannot make you do anything. So you cannot say Satan made you do it. Now, he comes through deception, through lies, through what else? Through blinding the eyes of people, right? That's the only power he has, is that he would deceive you and lie to you and say, this thing offers you so much happiness. You are not a servant of the devil. Even if you're an unbeliever in here, you're not a servant of the devil. We were made independent. God didn't make robots to serve him. That's why Adam and Eve were able to disobey him. Now God says, if you choose me as your partner, here's the human being in the middle, Satan on the left, God on the right. God says, if you choose me as your partner, you'll walk in rest. If you choose to listen to what the devil says in your life, you will walk in turmoil, in unrest, and you'll never find any peace. That's what it is. You can choose. God is not going to leave you alone, and Satan definitely will not leave you alone. He will always try to deceive you, lie to you, confuse you, unbalance you, take away your peace. You know what? When Satan knows this, then when he deceives you, lies to you, unbalances you, stresses you out, makes you anxious, you're easy target for him. Did you know that preachers, when they get burned out, are the easiest target for the devil? You ask any preacher who've committed huge sins, whatever sins, you ask him why. They will tell you, I was burned out, I was tired. I just wanted it all to end. I just didn't want to fight anymore. There's a fight. I will put an enmity. Since our fall, there's this war between humanity and the devil. Devil is not on your side. God declared a war. He's always against you, and you're always against him. That's why there's so much stress in the world. That's why you never have lasting peace. And I will put an enmity between you and a woman, between serpent and a woman, and between your seed and her seed. There's a war going on, people. There is a war going on. Some of you, you're like, I don't know what's going on. I'm always in some kind of a drama. I'm always in some kind of a trouble. I'm always feeling attacked. What is that? It's called spiritual warfare. I'll prove it to you. Open to Ephesians 6, 10, 11, and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the attacks of the devil. Next, wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle, read it with me. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Armies. Hosts means armies. Against spiritual armies of wickedness in heavenly places. New Testament says there is a war. Yeah, there is a war. You can deny it, you'll still fight it. Wouldn't you rather know what's actually happening? Why are you getting attacked so much? Why are you struggling so much? Why is your marriage always under attack? Why is the devil always trying to divide you? There's a war going on. And Paul says to Ephesians, he said, put on the whole armor of God so you can stand. Do Christians fight this war? Yes. We know it at least. So we can prepare for it. How do you get to that place of rest then? Is living in a place of rest possible? If there's war going on, how can you rest when there's war going on? Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary. From what? From life. From battles. From the attacks. From always fighting. It never stops, people. Have you ever had like a week where everything was good and then again something? A child gets sick. Your kid does something stupid. Or you do something stupid. And it's never ending. There's this battle. There's something always tries to cut you at your feet. Jesus says, I know that you have a battle to fight. And so he says this, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Are you carrying a heavy load? We all do. Is your burden exhausting you? Do you find yourself saying, I just can't do this anymore? God, why is it so hard? I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I just want to get away. I just want to escape. The thing is, there is no escape. The only escape you have, there is an escape. It's escape into the loving arms of Jesus. He says, and he doesn't lie, people, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. The devil is also saying, come to me, my little minions. Come, I'll give you rest. Here, some medication. You can self-medicate yourself. Right? I don't think people go to drugs or alcohol just because everything is good in their life. I think it's because there's that unrest in their heart and their soul. And they're like, God, I'm tired of fighting. I just want to escape at least for a few hours. And it does give you a little escape. That Satan offers you. Here, escape. It does give you escape for a few hours. But then it triple falls on you and crushes you even more. And you need more. And you need more. And you need more. And Satan says, here, try sex addiction. Try pornography. Try drugs. Try lying. Try escaping everything. He'll offer you options. Don't you know? He'll offer you options. And many of you who've tried his ways, you can run here and testify right now. Say, it doesn't work. He's a liar. I got a word for somebody. Somebody has pain in your lower abdomen right here on the left side. If that's you, put your hand on it. We're going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, quickly, quickly, or any pain. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are a healer. Heal your people right now. Heal that person right now, whatever it is, whatever that's bothering them. In the name of Jesus, we speak your healing. By his stripes, we're healed. And I thank you, Father, that it's gone. Amen. We were praying for my daughter. She had a headache. And I taught my kids to pray for one another. Put a hand. And then after they pray, I said, command that pain to go. So they go, pain, go away in the name of Jesus. So I want to tell you, pain, go away in the name of Jesus. Leave. Leave the body. Leave this building. Gone. One time we were driving and Alex was praying for Abby. And then we saw cows in a pasture. He's like, pain, go away in the name of Jesus and go into those cows. I'm like, don't send that pain into the cows. He's like, well, Jesus sent them into pigs. Poor cows, I know. I'm like, Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. I got your rest. You know what was stolen in the Garden of Eden? Rest. And I'm not talking about work. They worked before they sinned. They still work hard. But how many of you know there's a difference when your soul is in rest Even if you do a very hard job, it's easy. Ministry sometimes could be so hard, but when you do it with rest in your heart, when your heart is rested, it's easy. But you can be doing the littlest thing and no rest, and you're like, I want to quit this thing. I'm done. This job sucks. No rest. This spring, when the ice storm hit Sioux Falls and broke a whole bunch of trees, I had to get back into tree business for a while and cut trees down. And what I would notice is when I would walk in rest, my heart would be in rest. I'm not talking physical, because I was tired physically every day, climbing those trees, you know, every single day. And I would get the hard jobs because nobody would want to do them, you know. And so I had some customers, like old customers from 10 years ago, and I didn't want to lose them. And nobody wanted to do the backyard stuff where you can't bring the boom truck to, you know. You just climb those trees. And those trees have no branches. They're just tall, big trees. And so I would go to work, and I would notice on a day that I was in rest, the job was hard, dangerous, climbing. But I would have so much peace. I would be singing, praying, hallelujah, everything. No music, you know, playing in my ears. And then the next day, it would be the same job. Because it would go from house to house to house. And I would have no rest in my soul, just disturbed in my soul. And I would be slipping and sliding and hurting myself. And I would just start saying, God, please, now I know why I'm a preacher. Because it's easier. But then I do that to ministry too. Sometimes ministry gets hard. And it's not just the ministry gets hard. It's because my soul has no rest. It's not like our church is thousands of people. It's going to be, but, you know, we're still in the beginning stages. We're just growing, picking up steam right now. And I shouldn't be that tired. And I'm not. It's the rest in your heart. You know what I'm talking about. It's not that you have a hard job. It's that no rest in your soul. All these things just keep attacking you and hitting you. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give from young to old today. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you that peace. Will the battle ever end, Pastor Alex? So what you're saying to me, if I give my life to Jesus, the battle will stop? No. No, I'm sorry to disappoint you. A lot of TV preachers will say, if you give them $58, the battle will stop. 58, that's a lie. If you give 100 today, it'll stop. Liar, liar, pants and fires. I mean, I don't like that. I stop watching Christian television because it's all infomercials. It's all just this hype. Yeah, they take the good verses of the Bible, but they don't balance them with storms will come. Jesus said that. Jesus said that storms in your life will come. He says, if you build your house on the sand, the house will fall. If you build your house on the rock, it will continue to stand, even through the storms. So how, if we give our life to Jesus, does that mean battles are done? No. Let's read the next scripture, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Okay? This is a kind of a... you guys want to know what yoke is? Yeah. Yeah. Yoke is something they put on the oxen so they can pull. Can we put a picture of a yoke? That's a yoke. That kind of looks bad. Let's give another picture of a yoke. It's like you and your wife, huh? That's what the Bible says. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? Yoke. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. We all have yokes. You can't escape the yoke. Well, you can. You could live in denial. You can say, I'm going to hide in my room, not talk with anybody, and hope nothing bad will happen to me. And even there, something bad will happen to you. Satan will find you there. Somebody said depression. Yeah. Loneliness. He'll find you. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. It's those principalities. It's those demonic things. It's those satanic things. It's that serpent. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. The idea is this. You can carry your own yoke and your own burdens. Or you can take your burdens, because your burdens go with you no matter where you go, right? So you could take and put yourself, let's say Jesus is that red cow. You can be that black cow. The thing about Jesus is he has defeated serpent, he crushed his skull. Jesus got power that you don't possess in yourself. And so when you align yourself with him, he carries most of the load. Yeah. That's why your load becomes easy and burden becomes light. Not because you dropped it off and you don't have it anymore. No, because he's helping you carry it. He says, all power and authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. He's got it all. And so you never drop your burden. You attach it to Jesus. And then he starts helping you. He becomes your partner. Jesus is saying to you, come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, partner up with me. Some of you today, you've never partnered up with Jesus. Others, you've partnered up with Jesus, but you keep getting out of that yoke and saying, I can do this on my own. I'm strong enough. I can do ministry on my own. I can do my marriage on my own. I can do schooling. I can do my business on my own. I can do my job on my own. No, you can't. You need help. And he says, I'm here to give it to you. I want to give you rest. And when you are in rest, your marriage becomes easier. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. When you walk in rest, your marriage becomes easier. Your job becomes easier. Your relationship with God is easier. You're not saying, God, if you don't do this, I'm done with you. That's a person who doesn't have any rest. He says things he don't mean. She says things she doesn't mean. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Walking in rest could mean, could look like, could feel like you don't care. But it's not that you don't care at all. It just means that you take your burdens and heavy weights and put them on Jesus. You roll them over on Jesus. And it becomes easier. It does, people. It does. To the world, you look like, oh, I don't care. No, I do care about my family. I do care about my marriage. I do care about my job. But there's certain things I don't have control of. I'm going to give it to God. And give it to God and let him take care of it. Last Thursday, my daughter just got sick fast. She went to sleep, nap during the day, woke up barely breathing. My wife had an appointment, and we thought, okay, she's just, you know, a little bit sick. So we gave her a little bit of Tylenol and stuff. She's just turned one, and then it got worse, and she could not breathe. And I went to the, not emergency, but to a clinic, and in a clinic, it's so weird. She's barely breathing. She's yelling. And they're like, take a seat. 45 minutes. The blood was going. Tabasco's coming up my legs. 45 minutes. Do you see this? Doesn't matter. Sit down. 45 minutes. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to start yelling at somebody. And then when they ask what I do, I'll have to say I'm a pastor. And that will be bad. And I said, I'm just going to roll over this care on you. I'm just going to, I can't carry this. I'm going to roll it over on you. And something interesting happened. It just like, I don't know what happened. I just became peaceful. I cared about my daughter. I was holding her. I was comforting her for 45 minutes and then for the whole night. I mean, from 6 p.m. till like early in the morning, they couldn't test. And then they send us to the hospital emergency room and things like that. And I was just in total peace, in total rest. I'm like, why don't I care more? Why am I not panicking? Rest. Rest. It's not that I don't care. I still care about my daughter. But that's rest. Next time the enemy attacks you and you have some whistle, if you have some gossiper come to you and say, do you know what they said about you? That's Satan trying to steal your rest. You know what they said about you? I want to teach you a phrase that you need to tell people. Ready? You just don't know how much I don't care. Because see, that talebearer, that gossiper, he wants to have you get mad and start talking bad. And then what he'll do is he'll take your words and go back and tell that other person and then create more fire. But when you say, you just don't know how much I don't care, even if you do care, just say it. You just don't know how much I don't care. With all due respect, you just don't know how much I don't care. Satan is diffused. See, when he can steal your peace, that's it, he got you. Because now he can offer you pills, medication. All he's got to do is steal your peace and then, here, pornography will help. Here, drugs will help. Alcohol will help. See, he stresses you out, he shakes you, and then he says, here, I'll offer you my medicine. No, you say, I don't care. You just don't know. I rule my care upon Jesus. Now, don't say it to your wife or your husband. Don't say that to your wife or your husband. But if some gossiper come to you, tell them how much you don't care.